celebrate the 88th year of the founding of AA in Akron, Ohio, with this 1988 version of Joe and Charlie, brought to you by the big book livingalive.com.
You know, as a kid growing up back during the Depression days, I grew up in an area where you didn't have much money, you didn't have forced air heat, you didn't have hot and cold running water, and you didn't have inside bathrooms. In order for we kids to take a bath on Saturday night, which we had to do every Saturday night, whether we needed it or not, Mother would always heat the water in the old heating stove and the old cook stove, usually in the kitchen. She put a zinc tub behind the heating stove in the living room. Oldest kid would take his bath first. And by the time the littlest one got there, the old water was pretty cruddy, and I was the baby of the family. I'll never forget that, you know. And one night I was in that tub on Saturday night taking a bath, cold winter time. Old heating stove was red hot, and I bent over to do something, and I stuck my rear against that stove. I shall never forget how it felt. Now, there was a blister popped up on my rear end about as big as my hand. Nothing had ever hurt me like that before. And you know, I've never had an obsession of the mind to stick my ass on a hot stove since then. Never. I can remember today, with sufficient force, the pain of that damn stove. Now, alcohol, though, has burned me over and over and over and over just as bad as that stove ever did. And I can't remember that. My mind refuses to believe at certain times what alcohol does to me. It refuses to remember. And it says to me, Charlie, it'll be different this time. And just like saying to myself, Charlie, you can stick your butt on that stove and it won't burn you this time. The thing that keeps us normally from putting ourselves in situations which literally destroy us does not work when it comes to alcohol. Page 24, last paragraph. When this sort of thinking is fully established in an individual with alcoholic tendencies, he has probably placed himself beyond human aid. Now, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is made up of a group of people just exactly as powerless as we are. And if we've placed ourselves beyond human aid, then the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous will not bring about recovery from the disease. We're going to have the aid of a power greater than human power. And unless we're locked up, we may die or go permanently insane. These stark and ugly facts have been confirmed by legions of alcoholics throughout history. But for the grace of God, there would have been thousands more convincing demonstrations, so many want to stop but cannot. You know, they just described a hopeless condition of the mind and of the body. They've just described a bunch of people who are absolutely powerless over alcohol and have placed themselves in a position beyond human aid, and they're either going to die or they're going to be locked up permanently insane, one of the two. But then it says there is a solution. And for the last half of the chapter, we'll be talking about the common solution. Right? Let's take about a 10 or 15 minute break, okay?
Break. Everybody is all ready to go. I heard a guy say a couple of weeks in AA, we were at a big book study, and he says in AA they don't give you coffee, they just lend it to you. I think they're right. Okay, we are back to the power. We talked about already in this chapter the power of the fellowship. And now he's going to talk about the real recovery, the power of the spiritual experience, the common solution. There is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching and leveling of our pride, the confession of our shortcoming, which the process requires for a successful consummation, but we saw that it really worked in others and come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When therefore we were approached by those in whom the problem has been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. We have found much of heaven. We have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence we had not even dreamed. The great fact is just this, and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experience. Now he finally gives us the real solution to alcoholism, is deep and effective spiritual experience. Now what does it do? Which revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could not do for ourselves. Now, we can't do that. We're powerless. But God has done those things for us. This power is the power that solves our problem. Now, he said this vital spiritual experience produces this whole attitude toward life. All these things relate to the mind. And this is a psychic change. This is the solution. And right there, we said spiritual experience as an astrid. Very, very important part of the big book. If we missed that astrid and continued on reading the book, I doubt if we would get the correct ideas. But we follow that where it says spiritual experience. It says fully explained down the bottom of the pages. It says fully explained in Appendix 2. Now, you know, if we're going to, the spiritual experience is a very lofty term, and it threw a lot of the readers off of the first big red book. And in the big red book, there wasn't an asterisk there. And he said spiritual experience, and, you know, if you're a new alcoholic and you're reading this book and it says you have to have a spiritual experience, you say, well, my God, what is that? It kind of really frightens you, because we all have a different conception of what is a spiritual experience.
Now, just like the word allergy, if we don't understand what Dale meant by the word spiritual experience, if we have a different understanding than he had, then the information he's trying to give to us will be garbled information. And most of us had some preconceived ideas about a spiritual experience before we ever came to AA. I know for sure that I did. You see, I was raised in a good old Southern Baptist church, and I know you don't have this problem up here, but they do down where I live. And I got nothing wrong with the Southern Baptist church. I loved it then. I loved it today. But in my Southern Baptist church, as a kid growing up, I had developed preconceived ideas about a spiritual experience. And how that came about, you see, in my church, when you get to where you're not saving as many souls as you think you ought to, they decide they're going to have revival week. Now, normally we go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But if you're going to go revival week and save all the souls you can, you go to church every night of the week. Now, they don't trust the minister that you've been using. Now, if he was really good, he would already be saving them. So they go out and they find the finest minister they can find anywhere in the county. And that new minister comes in and he then conducts the services. Now, always at the end of the services in our church, if you want to be saved, you go to the kneeling bench in front. And you kneel and you make your testimonial and you pray and everybody else prays and hopefully you're saved. I shall never forget one night in our church. We were having revival week. This minister had come in from a different place and he was good. I mean, he was so good about halfway through the sermon you could feel the heat and you could smell the smoke already. And as the sermon drew to a close and they asked for those that wished to be saved, my Aunt Molly, who's a long, tall, slender lady, beautiful woman, fine, fine woman. She decided she'd be saved, and she went to the kneeling bench in front, and she was kneeling and she was praying. The preacher standing there, his hand on her head, he was praying. Everybody in the whole place praying. And all of a sudden, Aunt Molly fell over sideways. And she began to kick and jerk and tremble, and she began to speak in a language that I had never heard before. And the next thing I knew, she jumped up, she began to run back and forth through that church, jumping over the pew, skirt tail never touching the back of the pew. And I'm about 9 years old, and it just scared the living hell out of me. And I turned to Dad, and I said, Dad, what's wrong with Aunt Molly? And he said, Son, I believe she's having a spiritual experience. Now, when I read on page 25, I got to have one of them damn things, I thought, there ain't no way that this can happen. And I wonder how many of we people were turned off and went ahead and died from our disease. Because in this book, they didn't bother to explain what they meant by spiritual experience. Thank God they recognized that. And in the second printing of the big book, they put this asterisk in. The asterisk takes us to the back of the book, to Appendix 2. And if we're going to have a spiritual experience, let's go see what they mean by spiritual experience. Page 569.
569,
I'm sorry.
Okay, now, no, appendix is something that is added to the book to make it more complete after it was printed. Now it says spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening. There are two terms now. We're going to be looking at not one thing, but two different names, two different ways. Are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading, and I don't know a lot of drunks that do careful reading, I think that's our trouble, show that the personality changes sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself in us in many different forms. Now, he says this spiritual experience and the spiritual awakening produces personality changes. Now it's getting down to sufficient to recover. That's what they do. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes, our religious experience, must be the nature of a sudden spectacular upheaval. Happy for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. When they read the big red book, they felt that you had to have a sudden thing in order to recover. And we can see why. In the first fruit chapter, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. You know, the people read the big book, they read about Bill's sudden spiritual experience, and they thought that they had to have the same thing that Bill had. See, though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. You know, there are a number of sudden revolutionary changes described in the big book. But he says, among our rapidly growing membership, thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. And yet today in AA, people have spiritual experiences. They are frequent, but they are by no means the rule. He says most of our experiences are what a psychologist, William James, calls the educational variety. Most of us will not have a spiritual experience. Most of us was a spiritual experience of an educational variety. That is, we will change as we learn. Now, one is sudden, and the other one is a change as you learn and apply the program. Now, he says, because they develop slowly over a period of time. This kind develops slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he himself. And the educational variety, other people will notice the change in you. You won't notice any change at all, but you will be taking the steps, applying them to your life over a period of time. Now, Bill, in his work with Dr. Thibault in his early days, and Dr. Thibault wrote about this, Bill said about 10% of the people had sudden spiritual experience. That meant 90% of them had the educational variety that took place so slowly over a period of time. You know, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of alcoholics and over the years, and that's my life. I know about five alcoholics that I know that I saw. It was really something to see, the sudden spiritual experience. And I guess I've seen thousands of alcoholics recover through the